It's me, Mark Lloyd.
The Mark Lloyd is actually talking to The Rock.
Mark Lloyd.
Has his man wide open. Oh, that's yeah. Bailey at the 15 and 5. Touchdown, Mario Bailey.
Mark Lloyd.
What do we want as a sports fan? Huh? What do we want?
Mark Lloyd.
Have you had any water today?
There's water in my lemonade.
There you go. So I'm not a huge fan of vegetables. Okay, so how can I eat some? This, you know, just blend them up.
Sit back, relax, and let this guy do all the thinking for you. Mark Lloyd.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to another edition of the Mark Lloyd Show. Thanks for spending some time with us on this fantastic Saturday morning. Hopefully we'll get your blood moving a little bit, set you up for a wonderful weekend. A lot of stuff going on in the world of sports, as it always is. And this is the time, too, I'd like to welcome in my compadres, and that is one Seminoleville. Seminoleville, how are you?
Doing great, Mark. How are things on your end?
Fantastic. Doing very well. And also, Covenant Eric, are you there?
I'm up and at it.
He's up and at it, so he's gung-ho, as always. I got to say one thing, Seminoleville, is that he's consistent.
Yes, so we have learned.
He's never too high, and he's always low, so he's consistent. Well, you know, as always, Seminoleville, a lot of stuff to get to. We mention it every week. We only have 1 hour, and there's so many different topics. It's our chance to kind of recap the week in sports, and I always like now, as we get closer and closer to football season, especially college football, we're going to do our best to always kick off a little news and notes of what's going on around the Florida State football team. And so, although I want to kick it off by just saying, wow, that Jimbo Fisher and his staff just continues to recruit at a number one, number two class level. I'm not even going to say elite level, because you could go 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Top 10 is elite level recruiting, but it's incredible what they're doing on a week in and week out basis, and not only for class of 2016, but also the class of 2017. And this past week, they landed the number one kicker in the country, who I know they already have Aguayo, his brother, is coming as a field kicker. They recruited the number one kicker now, who it sounds like he'll be the punter for the team. And then they go out and they get another outstanding cornerback. And then a top linebacker for the class of 2017. And then it sounds like that there's plenty of five-star kids out there that have Florida State at the top of their list. So they just continue to roll, don't they?
It is becoming, again, a machine. And that's what you want. You don't want to take it for granted, but you want things more that this is, you know what, when it comes to recruiting, we can count on a top five ranked class just, you know, because of what's going on with Jimbo and the rest of the Noles throughout the year. He is absolutely equal, I would have to say, to the predecessor in terms of being able to get kids to commit, and really maybe even better at getting them to commit early, even the Coach Bowden and his staff was.
Yeah, no, you know, that's an excellent point. And, you know, along with that, Seminoleville, is that when you recruit elite talent the way Florida State is, but in a way, too, it just puts so much more pressure on the staff to develop this elite talent, because a lot of people might say, well, of course, Mark. Well, hang on. Because you might only get 2 years, 3 years tops with some of these kids. And the reason I say 2 years, sometimes they redshirt. Maybe they have an injury, you know what I mean, and they can't play, and they redshirt that year. They don't get a medical redshirt, so now you only have them for 2 years because they are that good. You have to develop them and get the most you can out of them when they're at your school, because next thing you know, they're off to the NFL. And obviously the trend at Florida State has been lots of underclassmen leaving for the NFL. They broke the three-year record for the most draft picks ever. So you have to replenish, but you have to replenish with guys that are actually living up to the billing. Would you agree or disagree, Seminoleville?
No, absolutely. And these days, you know, back then, if you want to go back a few decades, you know, you'd have several that would leave, you know, a little early. But the bulk of your guys, you know, were still here. And now, with when you recruit at this level, the one thing that you have to, you can't take for granted is that you'll have them there for the duration, because there's just so much talent that's coming into this area and into your university that once, you know, you get on the playing field, and of course, you know, coach is not afraid to play folks early, which we found out to be a good thing. And that they develop, and once they get that pedigree there, then you know, junior year is, you know, it's tough to see guys that can go in the first round of the NFL hanging around here. We've been, you know, had some surprises that did, and that's always good to see. But it's, you know, it's the process has moved to a different level now, and so you just got to keep replenishing. You know, you don't what's the old phrase? You just reload. You know.
Yeah. Yeah, and you know what? It's almost like you dread a top talent being redshirted. And the only reason I say it is we don't know if Winston would have been as good as he was as a redshirt freshman if he was a true freshman. For the most part, probably not. But you can't underestimate him. I mean, you really can't. But because he was redshirted, you almost feel cheated a little bit that you only got 2 years with him. You know, you're like, man, alive. Why couldn't we have gotten at least 3 years with him if he didn't redshirt? But that's the way it goes. And in order to get that talent, and what it seems to be, one of the spotlight is really shown on this particular event that takes place at college campuses across the nation now, especially with football. And these camps, Seminole Bill. These camps that, you know, Jimbo Fisher Jr. camp, Jimbo Fisher this camp, Nick Saban that camp, Jim Harbaugh that camp. You know, at these camps, it looks like that they're teaching these high school kids. Or is it just basically a glorified recruiting tool to get them on campus and you're allowed and you get 2 days with them nonstop of pounding it into their head? And even for yourself, the weed out guys that maybe you are interested in, but then you realize once you get them on campus, you know, it's not what we thought. So, like, what's your thoughts on these camps? Because there's a lot of controversy that surrounds them also, you know, a whole bunch of controversy that we don't have time to get into. But what's your initial thoughts on these camps?
It's all the above and more. I mean, it's marketing 101, get them on your campus so they get exposed to your environment and exposed to the way you run things early. To get them excited about possibly being a Knoll at some point in time or a Gator or a Hurricane, wherever the camp is. It's evaluation, really, really good on the ground, being able to associate, interact, and work with the youngsters under a guided, structured environment to see how they respond to authority, to see how they respond to a different level of coaching. It's a good way to evaluate their fundamentals, you know, how they sound, you know, to evaluate the young man as a person, you know, in some regards, how does he react to being coached, how does he react to teammates, to how does he work in difficult situations, how does he work through stress. I mean, it's everything you just mentioned and more, and it's, again, the primary way these days that coaches get to look at these top-tier athletes and see if they can fit to the module they have for their for the football teams.
Yeah, you know, it's almost like they get to kick the tires.
It's a test drive.
You know what I mean?
Sure.
I mean, yeah. I know I kind of simplified it, but that's what it sounds like. They have a chance to kick the tires. And, you know, out of everything you mentioned just then, one thing that you said I found very interesting is that you get a chance to evaluate the young man. So no matter how talented they are, by now, for the most part, these coaches probably, because there's several of them, so you get a lot of different opinions, a lot of experience, they can gauge once in a while who's the wild card. Yes, he has a lot of talent, but boy, it just seems like that he could possibly have us in trouble one day. And they try to maybe assess, do we think we could turn him around? You know, is he a loose cannon? Is he a Johnny Manziel? You know what I mean? I'm talking about a real flamboyant person that's over the top that you might think, is he worth taking the chance on? Can we make him and mold him into a college kid? Or is he a wild child and he probably needs to go somewhere else? That's interesting that you mentioned that. Sticking with the whole Florida State thing, is news came out this week, Seminole Bill, that the Alumni Association was not going to renew Bobby Bowden's contract as a spokesperson or as a fundraiser. And, I almost saw that coming, and I like the way Bowden handled it by saying, hey, you know what, I felt I wasn't even earning the $250,000 that they were paying me. So it's fine. And I really do believe that. I think that it didn't help the comments that he said, but I think also they realized he made the transition for us. We don't need him anymore. People know who Jimbo is. People know that he's a winner. He's brought us a national championship. We could save money and spend that money somewhere else.
Yeah, and the thing is, and what even old-tier folks like me have to remember is nowadays you can engage somebody and pay them for specific tasks without having to have a long-term guaranteed contract. And when we do it, you can do it with event planners do it, all kind of people use that moniker, even, in the sports world, you pay somebody for a year, versus paying them for 3 or 4 years. It's the same way. Anytime they need Coach Bowden, he'll be there for FSU. And I don't think they're going to just, throw him out to the pasture. I think he'll be around periodically for certain events, and they'll bring him in that regard. And Seminole Sports Marketing or whoever it might be will, boosters will reach out and here, we'd like you to be at this event and do this type of function and do this, and we'll pay you X amount of dollars for that event.
And you know what, and staying with the Florida State topic to a point is, let's jump to Jameis Winston real quick, Seminole Bill. I want to know, are you surprised or shocked out of the OTAs in Tampa? I know what your answer is going to be, but I thought I'd throw it out there anyway. Winston comes out of the OTAs as basically the starting quarterback for the Bucs. And from everything that you read, and even in everything that I've read, it's not because he's just the number one pick, but he came out of there because they looked at him and they said, you know what? Yeah, he's brand new, but we see the talent in this kid. We know why we took him number one, and he's proven it to us so far. And he will be our starting quarterback come the fall when the training camps open up.
Yeah, I mean, was it ever in question? I mean, really?
Not for people familiar with him, but the rest of the country, absolutely. But not for people like us that understand the talent that he has.
The kid is a Porsche. And he runs and goes like a Porsche. He's flamboyant. He's amazing. He does things that other cars can't even dream about doing. And everybody wants to drive the Porsche, man.
Yeah, that's right. You're absolutely right. And the Bucs are going to drive it. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, I think I can't wait to find out what Seminole Bill's answer is to this. And I'm talking, and I'll give you a little preview, Seminole Bill. Final minutes in a game, and that's all I'm going to say. And I'll explain on the other side of the break. Stay with us here on the Mark Lloyd Show.
You're the person your company, family, and friends turn to when something needs to get planned. A meeting, an out-of-town conference, sporting event, reunion, church function, or a sorority or fraternity event. What a headache. Well, there's a little secret that's going to make your life a lot easier and make you look like a hero. Bassett Events is a professional events, conference, and meeting planning service right here in Tallahassee. And they provide site selection and contract negotiation services to you at no cost. Yep, no cost. As long as your event requires at least 10 hotel rooms for one or more nights. You see, Bassett Events gets paid by the hotel, resort, or vendor. And they'll negotiate the best possible rates for you. Bassett Events saves you time, money, and aggravation, but still keeps you in control of the decision-making process. It's one-stop shopping, and you'll be a hero because it'll be our little secret. Bassett Events, exceeding expectations one event at a time. Call 877-7EVENT-1, 877-7EVENT-1, online at BassettEvents.com.
This is Seminole Bill.
And Terminus Eric.
Are you ready for Wakulla Fun Fest?
Wakulla Fun Fest?
Yeah, Wakulla Fun Fest. You know, the big shindig down off 319 in Crawfordville in Hudson Park?
Yeah, it kicks off Friday, July 3rd from 11 a.m. to 7 p.m.
They'll have a variety of food trucks, arts and craft vendors, a kid zone with fun activities, an Arctic chill zone. Now that's a lot of fun festing.
Yeah, and admission is free.
Don't forget the entertainment. Local and regional bands during the day with a featured act to close things out during the evening. Terminus, do you know what time it is? It's time to head to Wakulla Fun Fest. Wakulla's premier event starts Friday, July 3rd from 11 a.m. till dark in Hudson Park off 319 in Crawfordville. Food and fun for everyone. Join me, Seminole Bill,
and Terminus Eric
from the Mark Lloyd Show with our good friends from Freedom 93 FM and all our wonderful sponsors and vendors. Check out WakullaFunFest.com. That's WakullaFunFest.com. Join us at FunFest.
Hey, y'all. In Wakulla County, we stay at the Magnuson Hotel Wildwood Inn because they sponsor FunFest.
And now, a man that knows everything, Mark Lloyd.
Welcome back to the Mark Lloyd Show. As always, Seminole Bill, Terminus Eric, and myself, we appreciate you spending some time with us as you do each and every Saturday. And one thing that we love here, is, and you know this from our fitness tip, our water check, our entertainment segment, and stuff like that, is we love consistency. So it's great that you're here with us each and every week. Plus, we mentioned it last week in our entertainment segment. This week, though, more great news coming out of the Wakulla Fun Fest that's going to take place on July 3rd that Terminus Eric and Seminole Bill are going to be a part of. So we'll get into some more details on that. It sounds like it's going to be a good time. So that will be part of our entertainment segment coming up a little while later. Well, you know what? Speaking of entertainment, Seminole Bill, I'm watching the Lightning and the Blackhawks. Not the other night. I can't remember what night it was. Wednesday night, maybe? It was Wednesday night? Yeah, I think it was Wednesday night when I was watching it. And the Blackhawks are winning, and there is literally 1 minute left, or 1:10 left, and the clock does not stop ticking. And it was just an out-and-out onslaught by the Lightning, shooting on Crawford, the goalie. Yeah. For the Blackhawks. I mean, it was so stinking exciting that even with 3 seconds left and the clock running, not like it's timeout and here we go, the clock continuing to run and a pass and another shot, and literally I think there was a shot on goal as time expired and Crawford came through and the Blackhawks ended up winning. But it just instantly, I wrote it down. I made a note to myself to make sure that I bring it up on the show this week, and I make sure I bring it up to you, Seminole Bill. And folks, just so you know, sometimes Seminole Bill and I, we don't talk about all the topics because if I have some, I want him to be fresh. I don't want him to have a week to think about it. I like laying it, you know, give him 2 minutes to think about what his response is going to be. But Seminole Bill, that's arguably the most exciting final minutes in any sport that you could possibly have. If you take it to the highest level, that whatever the biggest stage might be, Stanley Cup, Major League Baseball, you know, all of that, it's great drama, and it was something else watching the Lightning and the Blackhawks, and it makes me think, what is the final minutes? What is the most exciting, you know, sport that happened that is just captivating? Is it baseball with maybe it's the bottom of the ninth? Bases loaded, two outs, two count. Strike. Yeah, or the batter's just coming up, you know, 2-2 right. Count, whatever the case might be. You know, is it that? Is it the drive in a Super Bowl with a minute left, which is obviously very exciting? Is it, you know, a timeout with 3 seconds left or 15 seconds left in the NBA and they're setting up for a shot that's going to either, they're either going to lose or win, you know, the basketball game? Is it a tiebreaker? You know, in tennis, one of your favorite sports out there. You know, what stands at the top of the mountain for you, Seminole Bill?
Wow, great question. First, back to your Hawks and Lightning. Could you ask for better, tighter games? I mean, they're almost mirror images. You know, the Lightning won Game 3 by a goal in a very similar fashion. They got ahead in that third period and really just held on for dear life because, you know, Kane and the boys from the Blackhawks were throwing everything they could at them, and it just the goalies were standing tall the same way the other night. I was just sitting there. You're literally riveted wondering when those shots are just whizzing by the net, you know, hitting off the pipes, a guy getting a stick here. I mean, I am a as one of the
people,
sports that
people
I
people getting smashed. You know what I mean? Trying to stay in the front of the net, and the sticks are flying, and there's cross checking going on, and the referee has swallowed the whistle at this point, and so there's no way
call
I'm calling a foul
right.
play or anything.
Right, right. It is amazing. I mean, I'm telling you right now, Mark, that sport it's one of the few sports I never played at any level was. I mean, I played. You know, as a kid, this is back in my day when they didn't have the rollerblades. You had little roller skates, and me and my brother would line up and just smash each other. You know, playing pretend hockey. We back when you guys are going to date me now. Back when they had a team in Florida called the Clearwater Suns. When I was growing up in the Clearwater Tampa area, there was a little minor league team, and it's gotten a lot bigger now. But we'd go down and watch. My dad would take us, and I'm telling you, you know, that is a great sport. My other brother did play that sport. He's a goalie. He's played overseas in some little roller leagues and also took the ice hockey when he moved to Boston and just really good at it now. It's at the adult level. But, man, I would have loved to be that. The goalie position, I played in soccer when I was a youth. I'd love to play that position in hockey. And I'm a old third baseman and a pitcher, so all the reaction stuff, it's just my adrenaline gets pumping when I see that stuff going on. I just sit there with my mouth open watching the action, and that to me is so exciting. I mean, the way they can dink the puck or deflect – deke the puck into the goal.
I'm sitting there going, man, that is just
amazing stuff. But everything you mentioned about all these little run-ups a little while ago about the different scenarios, those are what you live for, man, whether you're going to be the hero or the goat, whether your team's going to win or lose. I mean, think about the drive we watched Jameis take us on in the championship game coming back from being buried by Auburn,
and that
last big drive and that catch. Dude, I mean, you knew he was going to do it. I mean, at least as a Seminole, you knew. But you still were frozen in time watching what was going on in front of you. Your heart was just pounding in your chest. The sweat's coming, and you're just sitting there going, come on, let's get this, you know. And it is. It's just like, you know, all those type of little scenarios, whether it's down the stretch they come, you know, neck and neck, you know, into turn four, here come the cars battling to the finish line in Daytona. All those moments we live for in sports because it is greatness. It is emancipation, liberation, if you will, as when your team is the one that comes out on the other end and it is absolute crushing, stinging, hurting defeat. When your team loses on the short stick like that, it's just the high and low, the drama of sports.
You know what, though? It's something you said when I was listening to you just then is that is interesting. It sounds like the way you explained it to me just then is that I'm stating the obvious in a way, is that each sport has its own drama. But the thing with the NHL that separates it from some of the sports other than NASCAR is that the clock, and it's a different sense of drama. The NHL is able to include the clock and the drama and the continuity because it continues to run down and we're continuing to play through it all the way until the clock strikes zero. And NASCAR is obviously the same way for the most part, unless you get a caution flag and it ends under caution. The other sports that you mentioned, there's drama in patience. There's no patience in the NHL, right? I mean,
the clock's ticking down.
I mean, there's nothing we do. There's no timeout. You're not calling timeout. The other sports have
you gotta roll.
Built-in drama, you know. The tennis part, after a point, there's a pause in the action. After a pitch, if it's a ball, there's a pause in the action, you know, or a base hit. You know, and, you know, there's a pause. In the NFL, we call timeouts or you run out of bounds. And obviously the NBA, we call a timeout every other half second to do something.
I think
different.
The only other thing that compares, and I'll just take it one step further. I was watching, believe it or not, back and forth between LeBron the other day and in the game, and the women's FIFA event, the World Cup, and I was just thinking kind of what you were saying. The variable there is. You don't know how much time you've really got, and you're behind by a goal. To watching Norway and they're just blasting shots, you know, trying to get to the goal. And you don't know if the ref's going to blow the whistle when the clock ends at regulation, or if you've got a little bit of more time left. And you don't know how much time that is because only the ref knows. So you're just sitting there just trying to blast everything you can at the net and hope something goes in. It's very similar, I guess, to the hockey. Is the only comparison I can make would be a soccer event where you're, you know, one goal down trying to throw everything at the net that you can to make that last run before the ref calls, you know, time.
Well, you know what's interesting, though, Bill, is that that's true, is that soccer is the only sport that when you get into basically stoppage time, you have no idea how much time's left.
Right.
In a way. It just seems like they just choose to blow the whistle. No, that's really interesting. And, you know, back to, and I'm going to switch gears a tiny bit here, is when we were talking about the hockey and everybody's getting banged around and just, you know, the sticks and everything. Here's where hockey's problem is, though. LeBron James, in the game that took place Thursday night, you saw him go up, he got fouled, he went into the stands, and he hit his head on the camera, and he has a cut. Okay. All right. James did not make it. I mean, initially he acted like, you know, it was the end of the world. But, you know, he got up, walked over to the bench, and he ended up playing. But the first thing that came to mind was the marketing job and the poor marketing job that the NHL does. The NHL, that's nothing, you know what I mean, in the NHL.
Right.
I mean, everybody, they lose teeth. They got, you know, they get arms cut open, there's blood everywhere, and the guy continues to play, and everybody says, ooh, and that's it. James gets a small cut on his head, and one of the headlines is bloody and beaten. James plays through. And I'm going, really? Really? Oh, you mean he played through the cut on his head? And I'm thinking, I'm comparing it to hockey now. And I'm not saying it's not a big deal, but compared to the NHL, big deal. Compared to the NFL, big deal. But the difference is the NFL, we all know how hard it is. We all know the pounding because of the marketing job that the NFL does and football does in general. But the NHL, they're 10 times that amount, and nothing's ever said, and everybody takes it for granted. And they do their players and their sport, whoever the marketing guy is, Gary Bettman, the commissioner, does them a disservice by not emphasizing it and really showing us, the casual fan, what these guys go through day in and day out.
Do people, I mean, to me, having seen a game and seen games, you know, close to the rink, you really can't appreciate hockey on TV as much as you can being there. These guys are big jokers, and I'm telling you, skating, number one, ice skating is tough enough for someone like me, but to be on the skates trying to, you know, move the puck, matriculate the puck up and down, you know, passing, and then having the added feature that, oh, by the way, if you don't have your head on a swivel, you're going to get clocked by some clown that's 200-plus pounds and 6'4", and you may not live to see the next game if you're not careful. These guys are amazing athletes. I marvel at how they can do what they do day in and day out. This is not like a football game where you take a week off and you're in the pool. They're playing night after night after night banging each other like, you know, I mean, it's, whew, I'm the hits some of those guys take in there and then they get right back. And you know what's funny is when they take a shot, it's rare. I mean, you see them down every now and then, but those guys pop up like, where'd that guy go? I want to get him back, you know?
Yeah, you're absolutely
right.
They're
mad. They're with an attitude, you know?
Bill, in the last 2 minutes, we've done more for the NHL than they've done for themselves over the past years, by the way we described it just then. And that's the problem. Nobody knows. We got to take a break, but nobody even knows the height of these guys. Nobody knows the weight of these guys. Nobody knows anything that goes on when it comes to this sport at the mass level. And that's all because of their marketing guys. They just, or the women or men or whoever does, they do not do a really good job. All right, I mentioned we were talking a little bit about LeBron James just a minute ago, but I have another thing that was pretty interesting that took place during a Thursday night's game, also an adjustment that Steve Kerr made, the head coach for the Warriors, and how that led to a victory, which put the spotlight on the coaching profession. We're going to get into that when we come back right here on the Mark Floyd Show. Stay with us.
You're the person your company, family, and friends turn to when something needs to get planned. A meeting, an out-of-town conference, sporting event, reunion, church function, or a sorority or fraternity event. What a headache. Well, there's a little secret that's going to make your life a lot easier and make you look like a hero. Bassett Events is a professional events, conference, and meeting planning service right here in Tallahassee. And they provide site selection and contract negotiation services to you at no cost. Yep, no cost. As long as your event requires at least 10 hotel rooms for one or more nights. You see, Bassett Events gets paid by the hotel, resort, or vendor, and they'll negotiate the best possible rates for you. Bassett Events saves you time, money, and aggravation, but still keeps you in control of the decision-making process. It's one-stop shopping, and you'll be a hero because it'll be our little secret. Bassett Events, exceeding expectations one event at a time. Call 877-7-EVENT-1, 877-7-EVENT-1, online at BassettEvents.com.
This is Bill Bassett
and Eric Sweeney
with Bassett Promotions, producers of The Mark Lloyd Show. Want to put your brand with a proven winner? Outstanding advertising and sponsor opportunities are currently available for The Mark Lloyd Show. Give us a call at 877-738-3681, and we'll discuss ways to get your company on the airwaves right here where Tallahassee comes to talk on the all-new Freedom 93 FM.
This is Seminole Bill.
And Terminus Eric.
Are you ready for Wakulla Fun Fest?
Wakulla Fun Fest?
Yeah, Wakulla Fun Fest. You know, the big shindig down off 319 in Crawfordville in Hudson Park?
Yeah, it kicks off Friday, July 3rd from 11 a.m. to 7 p.m.
They'll have a variety of food trucks, arts and craft vendors, a kid zone with fun activities, an Arctic chill zone. Now that's a lot of fun festing.
Yeah, and admission is free.
Don't forget the entertainment. Local and regional bands during the day with a featured act to close things out during the evening. Terminus, do you know what time it is? It's time to head to Wakulla Fun Fest. Wakulla's premier event starts Friday, July 3rd from 11 a.m. till dark in Hudson Park off 319 in Crawfordville. Food and fun for everyone. Join me, Seminole Bill,
and Terminus Eric
from The Mark Lloyd Show with our good friends from Freedom 93 FM and all our wonderful sponsors and vendors. Check out WakullaFunFest.com. That's WakullaFunFest.com. Join us at FunFest.
Hey, y'all. In Wakulla County, we stay at the Magnuson Hotel Wildwood Inn because they sponsor FunFest.
Welcome back to the Mark Lloyd Show. Thanks for spending some time with us. We always do appreciate it here on Freedom 93 in Tallahassee. Before we went to break some of the bill, I mentioned something Steve Kerr did. They needed to make some kind of adjustment against the Cavs to try to even the series up. They didn't want to go down 3-1. And Steve Kerr, the head coach for the Warriors, decided to go like with a small lineup, basically, and speed up the pace and et cetera, and it led to a blowout victory for the Warriors that night, which made me start thinking about just the coaching profession. And when I looked at all the different major sports, and we'll say NHL, NFL, baseball, and basketball, and we'll throw soccer in there as well, college football, I guess we could throw in there at the college ranks too, is just how important is the coach when it comes to the actual game? The reason the NFL is, well, I guess obviously Steve Kerr proved his worth by he listened to the videotape guy who said, hey, you should do this. But still, he made the adjustment and everything. And there's like one sport that I can't get out of my head that I don't see the value in this position, and that is the manager in baseball. I see the basketball, okay? I definitely see football. They call the plays on the sideline. They're deciphering the game throughout the game in real time, you know what I mean? They're looking at pictures or film on the iPad now, and they're doing whatever it takes to get an advantage over the other team, but it's all in real time. It's, oh my gosh, that guy moved right there. You have to do this instantly. And we program that into the players' heads and everything. And in basketball, you have that. Soccer, I guess maybe I don't know enough about soccer that any great changes that they're making during the game, it seems like they stand there on the sideline and just cheer And at one point in the game, they let a substitute come in because the guy looks tired. So I don't see the great value in the soccer coach. And then the other one I had, the NHL, I do see the value. And the reason being is because of the lines. You have to constantly be matching up lines with the other team and how fast they're going in and out of the game and calling defenses left and right on a power play and offenses and stuff like that, even though he stands there most of the time and it looks like he's doing nothing but looking nice in his suit. But, I see the value in some of them, but the other ones, I just don't, Somerville.
You know, it's a fair question. Sometimes you would think that certain sports would be more, forgive the pun, cerebral in nature, the value of the coach. And more like a CEO manages an organization, that's your baseball coach. Kind of what Coach Bowden used to say on the football field. He became the CEO of Seminole football team and let his subordinates do all the hands-on coaching. And he would project his interest, ahead of that, a week ahead of the game plan. Well, a baseball coach, manager, if you will, has other folks around him. And, of course, the nature of the game is such that you could leave it up to a pitcher and a catcher to decide if they want to do this or that. But really, the manager has to look at the bigger picture. Well, do I want my guy throwing, four innings or five innings, my opener, my starter throwing four or five innings, when I know that, three nights rotation, I need to have him back up because we're playing the best team in the league and we're chasing them. Do I need him going four innings or five? If he can stretch it, we need to get this victory, but, we need
to. But that just seems like it's common sense stuff, though. That's
you would
I'm
think
saying.
So.
I mean, Bill, it's like, I can figure that out. If I'm throwing Kershaw, or Bumgarner and everything like that, but I want him back in 3 days, then I'm going to limit his pitches.
Right, you can figure that out, but who is that guy figuring it out for the pitcher? Because the pitcher will tell you, I'm fine, I can throw nine innings. Tell me, when I was doing it, I didn't want the guy to come out there and pull me in the sixth if I was going seven. I want to finish the game.
Yeah.
But now it's so specialized. We've got starters, your
mid relievers,
and you got closers. And I mean, it's so different. I mean, back in the day, the sign of a great pitch was, can he go the whole game? Can he last the game and then come out 3 or 4 days later and throw again? I mean, it is why they have limitations and pitch counts and stuff like that now in the game. Batting, I mean, if you're an American leaguer, you have to either have the DH. If you're the national guy, you don't. Different strategies of how you, who you're throwing, how that person sets you up for the top of your lineup.
But what's going on? But here's my thing. During the actual game, I'm not talking about preparation. I'm not talking about coaching in general because all managers / coaches, everybody prepares, everybody teaches. Okay, I get that. You know what I mean? But on game day, what use is that guy? It seems like they do absolutely nothing compared to the other sports. Even though the NHL, maybe I don't know it well enough, but it seems like that guy's never doing anything either. But when it comes to the NBA, when it comes to the NFL, when the players come off or something, I mean, it's an onslaught of everybody's huddled. We're all doing this. We're all doing that. And in baseball, they just come to the dugout and they all sit down. Like there's never any strategy. Maybe that's just sport. That's just the sport. And there is nothing to say on a pitch by pitch or inning by inning basis. But then also at the same time, it's like maybe that's why they're called a manager.
Right. They manage the game instead of
a
coach.
The game. They're not coaching anything. They're not doing anything. They're just managing. I don't know. I'm just
– Well, that's a good point,
money.
Mark. You made a good point. Think of it this way. I want to take you one step back. In college, what do we call our those guys? They're coaches, right?
Coordinators. Coaches,
on the baseball field, I'm sorry. Like Coach Martin. You don't say Manager Martin. It's Coach Martin. But when you get to the pro level – different level of expertise. Now I'm managing the guys at the highest level. It's semantics, but you see in the college level, you see catchers looking over to Coach Martin or one of the other coaches on the other team for signals. Hey, what is this pitcher? I want this pitcher to throw a fastball. You know, he rarely shakes that guy off. You know, you understand, you see the catcher looks at the dugout, get a call, and they go, and he tells the pitcher what to throw. That coach is actually hands-on telling that pitcher, I want you to throw a fastball to this guy. I want you to throw a curveball to this guy. They rarely shake those signals when they're coming in from the coach. At the better level, at the higher level, that manager is not normally doing that. But what he might be doing is situationally telling his coaches when the batters are up, hey, I need this guy to lay a bunt down because we want to break up the double play opportunity. Hey, I need this guy to swing away on an open count. Hey, he's got a 3-0 count. If this guy busts a fastball, I want him swinging because we want to try and let this guy hit. Little situational nuances that you don't see, and all he does is lift a finger or touch his cap or touch his chest or whatever it might be to make sure the sign gets in to the guy down the road. And then he is relaying it to another guy, and it's, you know, there you go. You never see it happening, but it's happening.
Maybe it was right in front of me. If it was a snake, it would have bit me about – exactly. He's a manager. I just think that – put it this way. When they fire the baseball coach or the baseball manager, I don't think – whatever. I mean, what's the big deal?
Yeah.
I never think it's a giant deal that they do it. Maybe every once in a while you might get somebody to think so far outside of the box. Well, remember, I didn't watch it, Moneyball, but that was a point blank proven theory that, the coach is irrelevant or the manager is irrelevant in the whole situation. I never saw the movie. I just read about it and everything like that. And I obviously know the results that took place, and it was all based on numbers and stats and whatever else they used. But I think that coach at the time was Billy Beane. I mean, was it Billy Beane? Or is he the man? Whatever. The bottom line is the coach was irrelevant in the whole situation. So I think out of those sports, I don't know, I would say that baseball is the least. Then comes hockey. You know, like baseball, then soccer, then hockey, then basketball, and the most important is football. There's no doubt. No doubt at all. There's a clear view of what a Coach Belichick does in-game and preparing for the other team, but mainly in-game and the adjustments they made. And even Coach Fisher, Seminoleville, you know, Coach Fisher, because we're right there in Tallahassee, the adjustments that they've made at halftime, him and the staff, shows their worth, because lots of times it was a different team coming out in the second half.
Yeah, I mean, you definitely have a more hands-on approach in certain sports, and again, hence I think the word coach versus a manager, and it's situational in baseball more so than probably the other sports, but you're absolutely right. The hands-on-wise, you can see what happens when you have a coach that actually is involved in influencing the game, and those are the football coaches, the basketball coaches, you know, to the max. They have the most opportunity to put their stamp on a game while it's going on.
You're absolutely right. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we have our water check, our fitness tip, and then our entertainment segment. Plus, the list came out for sports that applied to be instituted into the 2020 Olympics, and one sport that is nominated really caught my eye, and I'll let you know what that is when we come back right here on the Mark Lloyd Show. Stay with us.
This is Seminole Bill.
And Terminus Eric.
Are you ready for Wakulla Fun Fest?
Wakulla Fun Fest?
Yeah, Wakulla Fun Fest. You know, the big shindig down off 319 in Crawfordville in Hudson Park?
Yeah, it kicks off Friday, July 3rd from 11 a.m. to 7 p.m.
They'll have a variety of food trucks, arts and craft vendors, a kids zone with fun activities, an Arctic chill zone. Now that's a lot of fun festing.
Yeah, and admission is free.
Don't forget the entertainment. Local and regional bands during the day with a featured act to close things out during the evening. Terminus, do you know what time it is? It's time to head to Wakulla Fun Fest. Wakulla's premier event starts Friday, July 3rd from 11 a.m. till dark in Hudson Park off 319 in Crawfordville. Food and fun for everyone. Join me, Seminole Bill,
and Terminus Eric,
from the Mark Lloyd Show, with our good friends from Freedom 93 FM and all our wonderful sponsors and vendors. Check out WakullaFunFest.com. That's WakullaFunFest.com. Join us at FunFest.
Hey, y'all. In Wakulla County, we stay at the Magnuson Hotel Wildwood Inn because they sponsor FunFest.
You're the person your company, family, and friends turn to when something needs to get planned. A meeting, an out-of-town conference, sporting event, reunion, church function, or a sorority or fraternity event.
What a headache. Well, there's a little secret that's going to make your life a lot easier and make you look like a hero. Bassett Events is a professional events, conference, and meeting planning service right here in Tallahassee. And they provide site selection and contract negotiation services to you at no cost. Yep, no cost. As long as your event requires at least 10 hotel rooms for one or more nights. You see, Bassett Events gets paid by the hotel, resort, or vendor, and they'll negotiate the best possible rates for you. Bassett Events saves you time, money, and aggravation, but still keeps you in control of the decision-making process. It's one-stop shopping, and you'll be a hero because it'll be our little secret. Bassett Events, exceeding expectations one event at a time. Call 877-7-EVENT-1, 877-7-EVENT-1, online at BassettEvents.com.
Welcome back to the Mark Lloyd Show here on 3 to 93 FM in Tallahassee. Big event coming up on July 3rd. It'll call a fun fest, which we're going to talk about in just a minute. But before we get to any of that, as always, it's time for our water check. Right? Our often idle water check. The importance of drinking a whole bunch of water every single day is really good. And so we always do a quick water check. I am at 82 ounces today, so I'm probably clearly in the lead, Seminole Bill.
Yes, this week you are. I am down to 64 ounces this week.
Ooh, whoa, partner. You haven't been in the 60s in a long time.
Well, what's, you know, I wanted to feel young again, so I dropped back just a little bit.
Okay,
but,
all right.
Been talking way too much this week and not drinking enough water.
Yeah, I get that. That's it. I'm glad you realized that. Terminus Eric, did you take over second place?
I forgot.
He forgot.
You forgot to drink water in general?
Yeah, I forgot to drink water.
Okay. You have like a soda?
Really?
Yeah. I'm actually similar, Bill. We're going to do a little intervention once the show's over with.
I know.
I think he's overworked right now. Obviously not by this show, but he's overworked, and I think we need to have a heart-to-heart talk with him. Hey, you know what could help him? How about this fitness tip, similar, Bill?
Let's go with it.
Maybe this is what he needs. Our fitness tip this week focuses on endurance training. Because when you do endurance training, you need to put in a total effort. This comes from Men's Fitness. So you're basically going for muscle exhaustion. So remember, you have to fully exhaust the muscles. And how can you do that? Well, what they're recommending is that you get good at the body weight staples. And what that is get good at doing pull-ups, chin-ups, push-ups, you know, inverted rows, and squats. But all by just using your own body weight. So no weights involved. And what they're saying is that, you know, if you can master these movements for high reps, your muscles will get well conditioned, which will set you up for endurance training. There you go.
There you go.
Very nice. You're set up for your first Ironman now. I think you're ready after that tip. All right. Before we get to the Wakola Fun Fest, real quick, this Sunday, tomorrow, is the Game of Thrones season finale. This past week, we saw for the first time the dragon come into play in Daenerys jumping on the back and flying away. So we have a big season finale. Also, is an awful scene. Stannis Baratheon burned his daughter as a sacrifice to the Lord of Light. So it was just, like, out of control, awful. And who knows what's going to happen with the dragon and the whole situation. But the season finale is this Sunday of Game of Thrones on HBO. So we go from one finale to, I guess, the premiere, and that is the Wakulla Fun Fest will premiere July 3rd, Seminole Bill. You, Seminole Bill, and Terminus Eric will be there as guest celebrity host. And I know you guys have been doing some research like you always do when you make appearances and everything. So I know you guys are looking forward to it, and we're going to talk about it every week leading up to it. But one thing that I wanted to ask you guys, do you guys know – Are they bringing in any – you guys are talent with mics in your hands by hosting stuff and everything and signing autographs, but are they bringing in any talent when it comes to singing? Have you heard anything like any bands or, I don't know, whoever else?
Yes. The really cool thing about this event is you'll get a blend. You're going to get some of the local acts during the day, and then there's going to be what they consider the featured act to close out the event. So – count on having some, you know, good, you know, local regional talent, singers, musicians, different type of acts throughout the day. But come around, you know, 4:30, 5 o'clock or so, you can set up shop, sit back, relax, and have a great concert environment because you're going to have some of the better regional and even some touring and maybe even a national band at one point at these type of events here. That's the goal, is to give the folks down here something that they don't have to drive, you know, somewhere else to get. And what we've heard so far is they've got the first act, already inked, if you will, and that's going to be announced within the next week, and we'll get to talk more about that, I believe, next week, Mark, and may even have the that particular group on the show prior to, talk a little bit about what they do, where they're from, who they've been around, which will be really interesting to the folks around here.
Is this the kind of, like, when you mentioned, sit back and relax, I'm envisioning, you two up on a stage introducing, whatever band it is, and as you guys look out, is it kind of like the festival that I'm envisioning where people can bring their blankets and their lawn chairs and just, enjoy some refreshments?
Yes.
And sit back and kind of just enjoy the atmosphere is what I'm getting at. But it's laid back. There's not assigned seating or anything like that, right?
No. This hey.
Okay.
There'll be a Fun Fest pavilion up there where the entertainment goes on, and it's right there in Hudson Park, downtown, near downtown Crawfordville, off 319, the main drag that comes from Tallahassee down to Highway 98 along the beaches. Great area for it. There's trees out there, even during the summer months when it's kicking off, it's going to be an environment where you can still have a good time, keep cool. The kids will have their kids on going on, but absolutely what you said, bring lawn chairs, bring your whatever, your blanket, sit down, relax, and just have a great time, because there's going to be some great entertainment going on along with all the other things that we have out there planned at the event. And we're going to be just having a great time. Terminus and I have some fun things to do and working on some guests that will come up and join us and take part in it. And, of course, the Pirate Hunter will have to be out there, and Junior and the Piano Man, everybody, from the station will be in and around this event. So we're looking forward to being a part of it and having a great time and just opening it up for the folks down here in Wakulla County and in the neighboring areas.
I'm going to get to something that I can't wait to ask you about the Fun Fest. That's really important to me. But I know this was important to you guys before, Seminole Bill and Terminus Eric before, and we all talk about this, is that you want to be at a family-friendly event because, Seminole Bill, you have family. Terminus Eric, we don't know about his family yet. Not that we know of. But that was a rim shot. I should have got a rim shot just then. But what I'm saying is that what's nice is that it's free, right? I mean, there's no admission. Yeah. It's not going to cost me $10 for me and $5 for my kids just to get in. I'm not going to spend $40 or $50 just to walk into the place, am I?
No, you're not. It's absolutely free admission. The vendors that will be there with their foods and arts and crafts and different things, they all are coming to this event to partake and celebrate Wakulla and the area. We try and pull as much local as we can, but we do have a few folks that will be coming in from out of town or coming in from Tallahassee as well to help us out with this event. And it's absolutely designed to be what you just said, Mark. Come down. During the day, you can grab a lunch, enjoy some entertainment if you're, if you're working or in and about here or visiting. And then, in the afternoon and evening, you come on down and celebrate with us and just have a good time during the summer and on into the football season, man. We're looking forward to so many other ways to have fun with this event. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Okay, what I mentioned was important to me, and you touched on it for a minute when you mentioned lunch. Real quick, I think of festivals. I think of, great food that you could only get at like a festival. You know what I mean? Yeah,
right.
I mean, there truly is. It's just a different atmosphere.
Right.
And you could kind of like, you could splurge a little bit, if you like to eat healthy all the time, you could splurge a little bit, but you could also eat, I'm sure, you could grab yourself some healthy food there as well. But there's going to be, I'm assuming now, Seminole Bill, there'll be a wide array of food because I know you like to eat. Okay.
Oh man.
So
yeah.
I'm assuming there's going to be a bunch of different vendors with a potpourri of different foods.
Yeah, we absolutely we'll have the lineup as the vendors are securing their spots. Those things will start going up at the Fun Fest website. So, you can always check www.wakullafunfest.com and of course on Facebook, Wakulla Fun Fest. It's going to be an ongoing type of metamorphosis, if you will. We're going to have different groups out there. As much as we can, we'll keep it with a variety. And as the thing continues to build and grow, you know, other folks that you know, maybe don't always get out to every event here in this area will start coming in as well, because we've had some different folks reach out to us and say, hey, you know, we'd really like to be a part of this because we don't get up that way. And, you know, it'll be a lot of fun for the vendors, but also for the participants, patrons when they come out, because you might get a different choice every week of something you haven't tasted before.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. All right, Simonville, we got another great show. We got to get out. Terminus Eric is saying break. We got to go to break. We got to end the show. But fantastic show for Terminus Eric and Simonville. I'm Mark Lloyd. And real quick before I end it, the 2020 Olympics, the sport I was talking about was the tug of war. We'll get into that next week right here on the Mark Lloyd Show. Thanks for hanging with us.